Music Room Dilemmas from the Happy Music Teacher.
It's the Happy Music Teacher!
Are you an elementary music teacher who's frustrated and overwhelmed? I'm Jeanette Shorey, a happy music teacher who loves teaching every day, but it wasn't long ago I was in your shoes.
Join me weekdays as I answer all the questions that elementary music teachers have surrounding what's going on in their classroom, what their students are doing, and the challenges they face every day. Do know that these are my thoughts and they are my suggestions on what you might do better. If you disagree with me, that is totally your prerogative. These are just my suggestions and things that have kept me being a happy music teacher for over 25 years. If you do find something valuable, I'd be so thankful if you'd leave me a 5-star review. Now let's get into today's question.
Question number one comes from an anonymous member of a Facebook group that I love to participate in. This person says, "Something I've come to notice at my school is our students give more respect to their classroom teachers than they do the specials teachers. I know they're spending more time with their classroom teachers, but I don't feel as specials teachers that we should be disrespected. Is this something other people deal with too? If so, how do you make the situation better?" So, you are correct. We do not get the same level of respect as specials teachers or specialists, which is what I like to call us, as the classroom teachers do. Here's why. You do not have the power. The classroom teachers have so much more flexibility with the types of consequences they can give, both positive and negative. Second, you are not in a situation where you see them every day, which you did mention in this question. And because you're not in a situation where you see them every day, they are going to treat you more like a substitute teacher or a babysitter. And part of that is because they know you don't have the power. So here's what I suggest. Your behavior management needs to be extremely consistent, and it needs to have aspects to it that don't have anything to do with them remembering what your behavior management system is. You are going to need to remind them fairly constantly of what your behavior management system is, and you should do that in positive ways. I use tons of positive reinforcement. For example, I might say, "I'm looking to see who is doing the best job singing in their beautiful singing voice." Or I might say, "I love the way that Jalen is playing his instrument properly." Or I might say, "I'm looking to see who is doing the best job sitting silently, listening carefully, having their eyes on me. These are the things that show me that they are good listeners." So I use tons and tons of positive reinforcement, and I am constantly reminding my students of what to do. For example, let's put on our dance bubbles. We put on our dance bubbles, and then I say, "Remember, dance bubbles make it so that you can't get too close to anyone. If I see you getting close to someone or pushing through a group, I will know you took your dance bubble off, and you will have to be in the rest area for however many minutes you decide that's happening." I'm always very, very consistent. The first time it happens, the second time it happens, the third time it happens, I am going to put that student in the rest area. I am going to do it every single time. Being consistent and constant reminders are the only thing that is going to save you, because again, you don't have the power, and they aren't going to remember from day to day what you are doing in your classroom, because they're not in your classroom every day. Kids need constant reminders anyway, and when you are not their teacher, they're going to need even more reminders. Beth says, in the middle of a favorite songs unit with my third and fourth graders, I figured if we're incorporating some of their favorite songs, I would throw in some of mine too. Played Alanis Morissette for them today and was told this is old lady music and she sounds like a knockoff Taylor Swift. Oh man, I don't take much a third grader says too seriously, but those comments hurt. So what I'd like to say to you, Beth, is did you tell your students that they hurt your feelings? Because they are probably not aware that they hurt your feelings. And I will tell you that when I've done that before, it really affects them. They need to know. They need to know that they've hurt your feelings. So what I'll do is I will stop and I will be like, boys and girls, you just hurt my feelings. Alanis Morissette is one of my favorite singers. And honestly, she is one of my favorite singers. And I don't think she sounds anything like Taylor Swift. What's happening is they're unfamiliar with the music and they are in a position where because they're unfamiliar with it, it doesn't sound good to their ears. You know how it is. When you hear something new, it takes you time to get to a point where the music sounds good. So that's what's happening. And you want to just let them know that they hurt your feelings the next time something like that happens because they're not aware. And so I will stop right in the middle and I'll say, boys and girls, you hurt my feelings. Alanis Morissette is one of my favorite singers. And maybe you don't know her music, but you just really hurt my feelings. I feel really bad. I mean, they need to know that. And they need to know that just because you're a teacher does not mean that you don't have feelings. Just because you're an adult does not mean that you don't have feelings. So I would just out and out say to them that they hurt your feelings. And then if they don't apologize, then I would say, you owe me an apology. I mean, use it as a teaching moment. This next question comes from another anonymous member of that same Facebook group. She says, does anyone know of some engaging ways to incorporate watching a musical during music class, but also keep the students engaged during and not talk during the movie? I'd like for my students to watch a rated G musical and complete something with it. Has anyone done something like this before? So I feel you here because movies do not work the same way that they used to. And what I would do is I would create some sort of an easy scavenger hunt. Or if it is a musical where they're repeating the same types of patterns, I might have them creating a checklist where it talks about, I don't know, maybe how many times they say a certain phrase or which is their favorite song or, you know, I would do something like that. A scavenger hunt is going to be a really fun thing for them. What you do need to be careful of course, is that they're talking because you don't want them comparing notes. And what I would say is, you know, make sure that you address the talking in some ways. Make sure that you tell them this is a movie where we are going to be learning and we are going to be listening carefully. And I mean, you could even have them do a rating sheet. Which song do they like best? And what do they like from 1 to 5? What did they like about it? And, you know, you could have some choices for them, that sort of thing. Those are my thoughts on that one. Well, that's all I have for you today. But before I go, let me remind you, keep learning, keep growing, and keep being fabulous you.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at teachbetter.com/podcasts, and we'll see you at the next episode.